The naming of Matthias as apostle. Good Friday and Easter Sunday have come and gone. The ascension was a few days prior. Pentecost was at hand. The number of the apostles was down to 11. Judas had gone the way of the noose. But the number must be 12. That's what the book of Psalms says to us. It says that another should take his office. And so the apostles, they cast lots to distinguish who's going to be coming off the bench and who's still going to be riding the pine. The lot fell to Matthias. He's now an apostle. And this is good, because the apostles are about to be sent. That's what they're for. The Holy Spirit is going to come and dwell upon them at Pentecost. They will be consecrated and gifted with impossible gifts in order to proclaim the message of Christ crucified, of Jesus for you, of burdens taken away and light yokes given. This must be proclaimed, for this is the message of the gospel. This is the message of the resurrection of Jesus. But some weren't aware of this gospel. Some didn't understand such a gospel. Some didn't believe such a gospel. For these are the things that are hidden from the wise of this world and revealed to little children. Matthias is a little child. I pray that we are too. Judas, though, he was one of the wise ones, wasn't he? Doesn't he look the part of the sage as he dangles from the end of his rope, his bowels gushing out and bursting forth in the middle of a field that he bought with his own blood money? The strange thing about the wisdom that comes from the wise of this world is that it always leads to death. It always ends with its head poking through a hole tied in a rope. It always ends with the law prevailing and the gospel never spoken, never heard. The odd thing was, the gospel was for Judas, but it was hidden from him by the very ones who should have been proclaiming it to him. Imagine that, the gift of the cross, so freeing, so forgiving, that it was even meant for the very one who betrayed the Lord of life. Judas, later, he went to the wise ones, to the chief priests and the elders, to hear this message of God's gospel of forgiveness for him, but instead, all he was told was, see to it yourself. And so that's what he did. Noose tied, body swinging. That's how the wise deal with their sin. That or they convince themselves that sin isn't real, or that they've done enough good to outweigh all of the bad. But the thing about it is that Jesus didn't come to bring that sort of wisdom. The wisdom of the wise always ends with a see to it yourself, which always ends in despair and a sinner dead in his sin. The law speaks nothing of a light yoke that comes from the Lord, speaks nothing of all of those who are heavy laden, actually finding their rest in Christ. It only speaks about a sinner lightening his own load, which always, inevitably, burdens that load doubly so. And the sinner then can never get out from under this heavy burden with his own works, his own see to it yourself, his own wise way of fulfilling the law. For the sinner doesn't know a thing about this Jesus, this gospel, this forgiveness of sins. The sinner always holds tight to his sin, tries furiously to see to it himself. And that's bad enough. But what's worse, what's downright heartbreaking, is when a sinner who knows nothing of the gospel, wanting to be freed so badly from his burdens, believes that the only way out is the business end of a noose. When this poor, broken sinner is told that he must see to it himself because he doesn't have a God loving enough or caring enough or saving enough or sacrificing enough or forgiving enough to free him from his sin, that's nothing short of a travesty. The wise will tell you to clean up your own mess. That's what they told Judas. But those to whom Jesus has revealed the mysteries of the kingdom, the little children, They will tell you that your mess has already been cleaned up, mopped up, soaked up by the blood of the cross. And so with the cross complete, the tomb empty, Jesus the Christ ascended into the heavens. Matthias, in our text, joins this merry band of the apostles who have been charged to spread the gospel, charged to lighten burdens and exchange yokes, charged to the childish forgiveness of sins that has been hidden from the wise of this world. Here in our text are those little apostle children, and there they go, to reveal the mysteries of Jesus and his cross to the sinful children like you and me who need to have the yoke of Christ placed upon us, a yoke that ties us and binds us to Christ himself together with that Lord of life. This is a yoke that is light because it is Christ. It's Jesus. And your burden has already been laid up on that cross. It's been dealt with, not by you, but by your Savior. He's the one who saw to it. Bloody Jesus, dead on a cross for you. Resurrected Jesus, burst forth from the grave for you. Ascended Jesus with all things placed under his feet as his footstool for you. Celebrating the Feast of Matthias here in this first week of Lent is a wonderful way to begin this season that will inevitably end at the cross and that empty grave and tomb. Because what you hear tonight, what you hear throughout these 40 days of Lent, that's the words of Matthias, which are nothing less than the words of the apostles, which is nothing less than the words of Christ Jesus, your Savior, your Lord. These are the words of a gospel proclaimed. Forgiveness of sins spoken, bloody baths taken, and paschal feasts eaten. You will never hear words that tell you to see to it yourself. That would only leave you swinging right next to Judas. Instead, you'll only hear words of Jesus has seen to it himself. And he did so on his very own tree, a tree that was shaped like a cross. Those are childish words, meant for the ears of children of God. What better words could children ever hear? In the name of Jesus.